Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome into another episode of Game Runs Deep. I'm Sudu. He's Ben. And just an eventful way to start episode 13. After beating Florida, after going undefeated at home, Ole Miss is more nervous and anxious than ever. Not only with a college football playoff berth on the line, with a big rivalry game coming up in a couple weeks, but
right.
The constant rumors of Lane Kiffin's departure just continue to heat up.
Right.
The more the Rebs win, and that's where we find ourselves today. But Benny, how you doing, brother? Good to see you again. It was great seeing you this weekend. A beautiful environment in Oxford, and we got to hang out again and watch some Ole Miss football, watch some Kewon Lacy BTA action.
Yes, it was awesome. I'm posting this on the Ole Miss Spirit, our link. We really just it's been a trial of patience for me and Sudu as we try to get Game Runs Deep where we want to go with it. I'm stuck in a shadow box because I can't figure out lighting to save my
life. You look great. People tell him he looks great.
You know, I'm trying to make it where I can be comfortable and also, like, talk to y'all in a normal way rather than be up in my perch and, you know, hanging on for dear life. But, no, this weekend was so awesome to see my guy Sudu. He came into town. 40, we got him in.
We got 40 in the game and in the press conference, the post-game press conference. That was nice.
Yes, he did. And a press conference for Lane Kiffin provided absolutely no update on anything. He was asked the same question essentially 4 times in 4 different ways to try to get a different answer. Are you going to Florida? And every time he deflected completely. Last night, Sunday call with local media, and we asked him again. And really nothing to say. And I think we're still in the same place today as we were this time when we recorded last week. And the main reason for that is because I don't think LSU, even though LSU wants to be in the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes, I really don't think that they're much of a player here. I really do think it's Florida, the Ole Miss extension. It's an absolute coin flip. This week, Ole Miss would love to have some clarity because it is their bye week. But at the very worst, they need to know something about 11 days after the Egg Bowl. Lane Kiffin would not coach the playoffs if he's leaving. And it's just as much a chance that he's leaving as he's staying. And if he does leave, I think he would go to Florida. And I actually talked with a coach on another coaching staff before we came on here. And, you know, apparently from all of what he's hearing in coaching circles, Lane is trying to make it as easy a departure as he can, right? That's what coaches, they're like, yeah, I think he wants to go, and he's trying to set himself up with an opportunity to do so in the most painless way possible. There's a number of problems with that, Sudu. Number one, the timeline is a unnecessary burden for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's hard to feel any kind of sympathy for Lane. I mean, the man's making $9 million. He could make $13.5 million next year at Ole Miss. But Florida is a temptress that has come calling again, and this time he's really finding it quite difficult to shrug it off. If anything, if I were a betting person, it's even money for me on Florida or the Ole Miss extension.
Yeah.
But in the coaching rumor circles, at least according to this this SEC assistant, it wasn't an Ole Miss assistant, I promise you. It was an SEC assistant said, like, yeah, everyone's still thinking Florida, like Lane's headed to Florida. And at this point, if you're Ole Miss, you just want to know one way or the other because you don't want to be limited to your in-house options only, right? Especially for a playoff run, which is all that really matters because Ole Miss is 10-1. Sudu and I know that for a fact because we were both there together enjoying what was remarkably the best atmosphere for a game at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium I have ever seen in my 39 years of existence.
No doubt.
And even when asked and given an absolute layup of an opportunity in the postgame to just brag on that, Lane had to troll and talk about the Citadel, even though Ole Miss had more in town in attendance for the Citadel than LSU had for Arkansas this weekend. But only because Ole Miss has held a different quality of standard than others, especially when the temptress is calling and you're really feeling her pull and her sting. So that's a long way of saying I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. I think that he has had every opportunity to end it, and he has chosen not to, actively chosen not to.
What do you think it? What do you think
he wants
at this
point? And if not, for the complicated timeline with signing day, transfer portal in January, the playoffs. Like, this isn't – like, my Dan Wolkin, who – listen, I have never loved Dan Wolkin. He and I have never loved each other, but he absolutely nailed it with his column last week. This is unlike any other sport. This isn't the NFL. This isn't NBA. Listen, the NFL, there's negotiated releases. Like, organizations have to allow coaches to talk to other teams. There's a lot that's negotiated in that in college just doesn't exist. Only in this sport can a team like Ole Miss be having the best season of in its history, only to have it completely overshadowed because of the timeline and the adults in the room failing everyone. Have to worry far more about whether Lane Kiffin is coaching them in the playoffs or not. I mean, I had one national industry source say yesterday he'd heard that there was a debate whether or not Lane was going to be allowed to coach the Egg Bowl if they were given any indication that he was leaving. Imagine that. This is the winningest coach in Ole Miss history. And regardless of if he leaves or stays, the fact that this is the process that will get to that decision is insane to me, and absolutely, yeah, that's the true disrespectful thing. You know, like Lane can talk about, well, it's disrespectful to talk about it for the players. Is it disrespectful to interview with schools on Zoom calls? Is it disrespectful for the coaches that address and say, I'm staying here? Like, is it not disrespectful so, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go about it. At the end of the day, I think Lane wants to leave or really is tempted by Florida just as much as he's tempted to stay at Ole Miss right now. He doesn't know what he wants to do, and Ole Miss is in this purgatory holding pattern until he does.
What do you think he ultimately is, what he wants? Like, I can't really put my pulse on what it is that Lane Kiffin actually wants from whatever his next move is going to be, whether that's staying at Ole Miss or going to Florida. I'm a little confused at, like, what it is he's chasing at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's talked about that, you know, the security being loved, a statue. I'm sure he wants to win a national title of his own, that where he wasn't a coordinator, right? But I'm having trouble getting my head around the season Ole Miss has had this year, the success they've had in a year where we've talked about it on the show. We did not expect them to be a one-loss team at this point in the season. This was a rebuilding year, and we talk all this about how he kind of squandered one of the best rosters that Ole Miss has ever had a year ago and missed the playoffs. And then this year, a roster full of deficiencies and as I love Trinidad, and he's proven himself, but he was playing Division II football a year ago, and he's had a better season than a year ago. So he's just continuing to prove that whatever it is that you chase as a coach, which is winning and competing for national titles, it is possible. And even through all that, he's still tempted by the other job. So is it maybe, have we just been wrong, Ben? Does the brand just mean that much to Lane at the end of the day? I mean, what is it?
I don't presume to know. I really don't, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's his decision to make, and I don't know what he values. Like, I don't know him like that. I know him well enough, you know, and he's a good dude. I mean, he's been fun to cover, but I have the same questions that you do, because Ole Miss has been over backwards for Lane Kiffin in every way. And
no doubt.
It doesn't matter what he's asked for.
Yeah.
Whatever he's asked for, he's gotten it at Ole Miss. And I think, you know, at this point, and Ole Miss would continue to do that. Like, there's nothing that that Ole Miss wouldn't do to support Lane Kiffin in the way it best possibly can. And still, right now, it ain't enough. You know,
yeah.
So I would have that exact same question. I just don't know if even Lane knows what he wants right now. I just think that, you know, Florida's unique, has always been uniquely situated to flirt with him and to tempt him. And I think, you know, that's right now kind of winning out for him in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, It's one or the other. It's the Ole Miss extension or it's Florida. I don't know what he's going to do. But I would, too, question, like, well, how if you can't be happy with this, how could you be happy? But also, you don't know what a man, you know, what they really want in their life. And maybe this was just, like, maybe he feels this is the end of a season at Ole Miss or whatever, whatever it might be. At this point, Ole Miss just wants some clarity.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's my biggest thing. It's like if you went out, and even if you're not there for the playoff, as long as you get them there and you're honest and give them enough of a heads up, like, yeah, nobody wants to see him go. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are going to have their feelings hurt about it. But at least you go, hey, you gave Ole Miss enough of a heads up, you know. And I think that's what we're all seeking. We have JTCMPP say he's chasing the NFL. Easier path to the pros without a natty at UF than Ole Miss. I don't think that's true necessarily. I think Lane could go to the pros from wherever. He's already been there. He's already proven himself as a coach. That's why those Giants rumors were so prevalent. I don't know if, you know, it's kind of died down a little bit. But there is 100% a world in which Lane Kiffin could go to the NFL this year if certain jobs were to open up. And I think there's certain owners that would be open to bringing in a guy like Lane, especially with the way the NFL has moved, the way they play the game. I mean, his system would work 100%. I would love it if he went to the Giants as a Giants fan, right? That would be awesome. But
I don't think he's a pro coach right now. I don't think that's what he wants. I think right now, I don't know what he's going to do. But I do know that for Ole Miss, the worst possible outcome here is that Lane leaves and Pete Golding is the head coach, and getting his soft launch as the head coach in the playoffs. I don't think that's where Ole Miss wants to just defaultly go to. I think Ole Miss wants to talk to John Sumrall. He'd be the first call. I had an industry source say or tell me yesterday straight up, like, yeah, dude, if Lane leaves, Ole Miss would hire John Sumrall within hours.
So where would Sumrall – because you're familiar with Sumrall too. You've obviously been around him and stuff. Like, where do you think he would be? Because his name is so closely tied to the Auburn gig.
Yeah.
And obviously Auburn's probably going to make a decision way before anything, especially if Lane doesn't give Ole Miss a heads up. I mean, Auburn's going to probably move in on that. So where would Sumrall land between the two jobs? I mean, he can't say, well, I'm going to wait for Ole Miss and risk not getting the other job as well. And we've talked about it before. Sumrall looks like he's got his foot out of the door. So somebody's, you know, been talking to him as well.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas wants him. Auburn wants him. But I think DJ Durkin is really in play. He's the leader in the clubhouse, in my opinion, for Auburn. I could be completely wrong. But, I mean, I've talked to people on staff over recently, and I think he just got to win. But I they might not be able to do it. I think that one is for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
One that would really intrigue John Sumrall. He's from Alabama. He coached at Troy. Kentucky's his alma mater. If they opened up, he'd be interested. But I know right now, Ole Miss would be the job he would really be the most interested in right now.
Is it time for us to propose our candidate that is not going to make a majority of Ole Miss fans happy?
Well, here's what I wrote. I wrote on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of all three. Sign up today for $1. I wrote a column. It said, I don't know what Lane Kiffin is going to do. But I do have this column, and I kind of laid out what it was, and nothing too much more. There's a lot more details in there because I want you to just read our stuff.
Did you bring his name? Did you bring his name up? Okay,
I put him in.
So you've already put it out there.
Yeah,
what has been the reaction?
Because Ole Miss, it has good in-house options. Pete Golding is not going to go if Lane goes to Florida. Yeah. He's already essentially told him that he's got a contract unique to Ole Miss. Like, Ole Miss negotiated that with Pete and independent of Lane. So Pete's here. And it's not just for professional reasons that Pete is here. Like, there are real personal considerations for him that are unique to him and why Ole Miss would he's at Ole Miss. Brian Brown, I mean, he's a Corinth guy, Cody's coordinator, wants to remain at Ole Miss. There are a lot of guys on staff like that. Who would prefer to stay rather than, you know, like Charlie Weiss needs to be his own independent offensive coordinator. The man's been trying to get a G6 job, head coaching job, for years and can't because he's Lane's guy. So he needs to produce and show himself outside of the Lane bubble. So you essentially, if you could get the right program figurehead, keep this thing going – by sliding them in. Not to say he wouldn't bring his people, he would, and there would be a lot of turnover, but some people that you'd want to keep that you could keep to really keep all of the infrastructure in place, they do want to stay too. John Sumrall fits that a lot. because he quite literally replicated the model at G6 of Lane's, at the G6 with Tulane, and it was Lane's model, and he'll tell you that. I replicated. So from a trolling standpoint on Twitter to the X's and O's and the build-out of the analytics department and how they go about recruiting and scouting, it's very similar, if not damn near identical. So, like, Ole Miss knows how good of a fit that would be.
Yeah.
But they don't want to just talk to John Sumrall. He would be their first call, in my opinion. But I think right after John Sumrall, Ole Miss would want to talk to a number of different people. They want to see if Eli Drinkwitz is interested, even though he desperately wants Florida and he wants Penn State, he wants LSU. They'd want to talk to some other candidates. But for me,
say it, Ben. I think say it his was name, Ben.
Dan Mullen would kill here.
Yes. Let's go!
Dan Mullen would absolutely massacre it here.
Ben, you know, they are very similar. You brought this. I was like going somewhere last week. I was in the car, and Ben went, "You know who I think they should talk to?"
They won't.
And I didn't know who. I thought you were gonna say like Derek Nix. I thought it was gonna be someone just. No. I would have, you know, whatever. And I start naming people, and this guy out of nowhere goes, "Dan Mullen." And my first instinct was just to like hang up the phone and be like, "What is wrong with you?" Mm-hmm. But then I start thinking about it. I go, "Okay, wait a minute. This guy." Cult of personality guy, you know, he's gonna garner headlines. He's gonna make it fun, kind of like Lane did. The difference is Lane trolls, but it's sort of cute. Dan Mullen's just an asshole, but he would be our asshole. You know what I mean? And this is a guy that tried to ruin the Ole Miss football program, and a lot of kids, I don't have a great opinion of the guy from his time at Mississippi State because. It got a little too personal with him. Like, he really did some bad stuff. But at the end of the day, he is just as much of a quarterback whisperer as Lane is. He has coached multiple talented quarterbacks. Tim Tebow. Remember how good Trask was under him. You know, was he with Urban at Utah for Alex Smith? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Dak Prescott. I mean, come on. Like, he's been around. He's made a lot of quarterbacks good. An offensive guy his offenses are very good. UNLV is like 8-2 right now. Total winner, right? And the best part is he understands Mississippi. He understands that rivalry, which right now obviously feels a little diminished with the way Mississippi State is. But we're all going to be nervous come Egg Bowl week. We know how much that means. The only thing about Dan Mullen is Dan Mullen just doesn't like to recruit.
And it doesn't matter anymore.
And in today's age, yes, with NIL. And on top of that, like, here's how I look at it. If you bring in a Dan Mullen, I think you go ask a Derek Nix, somebody who's been there before, to say, hey, do you want to come be the OC? And then just let him handle recruiting primarily. We know how good he is, especially in the state and in just the Southeast in general. I know it's a totally out there, far-fetched thing, and you know, I know a lot of Ole Miss fans would be, like, revolting against that idea, Ben, but I think it makes a lot of sense because the guy's a proven winner. All right.
Yeah. No, I think it makes a lot of sense too. And, you know, from the football standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world because he's a true CEO and he was a CEO before coaches wanted to ever be CEOs. Like Dan was just trying to desperately be a CEO a long time ago. So the recruiting apparatus and the NIL group that is the Grove Collective, one of the most efficient in the country for Ole Miss, would be perfect for him. The national exposure just from the Mississippi State angle alone, both locally and nationally, would carry a year. Even more than that, could you imagine Dan Mullen coached Ole Miss returning to or going to Lane Kiffin coached Florida in Gainesville next year? Who is the only coach that's been even remotely successful at Florida for the last 10 years? Dan Mullen. And like he's a quarterback guru like Lane. He checks a lot of the boxes, and the trolling aspect does not need to be undersold here because you know, national relevance is something that Ole Miss has fought tooth and nail to get to. Consistent every day at national relevance. It's not just about being ranked for 45 straight weeks. It's not just about being barreling towards the college football playoff and being single-digit wins away from winning his first title since the 60s. It has to fight for his place, it seems like, every single day. So making it easier in that way with a figurehead that wants that smoke, if you will, like a Dan Mullen would make a lot of sense. And he's a wild card name that I've actually heard from people that that I think matter. Another one was John Gruden. I was like, no way. But also
Gruden, yeah. Gruden doesn't feel it. Rebel and Dave says, what did I miss? Why are we talking about Dan Mullen at Ole Miss? Well, bud, Ben and I are proposing that he would be a great fit.
because number one, it's the off week. Number two, given every opportunity to provide clarity about his situation, Lane Kiffin has chosen not to. Yeah. And before I sat down to record with Sudu, quite literally was on the phone with an SEC assistant coach. He was like, dude, the rumor mill out here in coaching circles is that Lane's headed to Florida, man. He's just trying to soften the blow to make sure he can do it. And this guy was like, hey, dude, is any of the guys on staff going to still be there? Because I got an interest in it. You know what I mean? Like, so that's how this stuff moves. That's what's happening right now. The timeline is like that.
Yeah.
Coach, I mean, and everybody's still in season. That's why it's so messed up. It's why it uniquely sucks for everybody. Because, like, dude, none of this should even be a thing until February.
Yeah.
None of this should even be a consideration. But Ole Miss, with the most successful season it's ever had in modern history, if not ever, it just needs a title to be comparable to the 60s teams. And we're talking about this. And it sucks because – it's overshadowing what everybody – like, Lane Kiffin was here to do exactly this, to build Ole Miss to a place. And he's done that, and they're doing all of the things that they dreamed of when they hired him, and they can't even enjoy the spoils of it because they're paying the Lane Kiffin taxes they've paid every single year. And this year feels as real, if not more so, than even 2022 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like – and only twice did I really think it was serious, 2022 and right now with Florida. You know, and you got – I'm getting texts saying, well, I heard Knox was in Baton Rouge on Saturday and Gainesville on Sunday. And that's coming from people who have real blood, sweat, equity in your program to make sure that it's good. Like dudes that give real money and they're frustrated because they're like, I'm not going to give any more money to this if he's going to go to Florida. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that complicates things because, dude, signing day's 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the transfer portal opens in January. And, frankly, Ole Miss's roster is pretty bought and paid for next year anyway. It's about as good a situation as you could walk into, and that's why they want to be able to hire the best candidate. They don't want to just have to go, well, is it Pete Golding or Joe Judge? And I think Joe Judge makes a lot of sense as a program figure, especially if you're pressed against the timeline and they got to insert somebody in there. If the worst outcome here is Pete Golding's the head coach with Brian Brown as defensive coordinator and maybe his own offensive coordinator hire, or Charlie Weiss as his standalone offensive coordinator, coaching in the playoffs for a soft launch of his Kirby Smart hopeful era at Ole Miss,
mm-hmm.
that's a great place to be in. But that's not what this is supposed to be right now. This is supposed to be about a playoff discussion. And Ole Miss looked bigger than it's felt ever, in my opinion, Saturday. Sudu and I were sitting there. And I would question Lane's ability to be happy, too, if he could really look at all of that, what he's been begging or commanding out of Ole Miss fans for 6 years. They delivered a perfect night in that way. Everybody delivered. The stadium atmosphere people, the administration as far as – I mean, if he goes, it's not going to be because Ole Miss didn't offer him something. They're willing to go to average annual value, average annual salary value, assistant bonus pool, NIL, but you name it, like whatever they can do at the limit of their capacity, they are and have been willing to do it for Lane Kiffin. And it all kind of came to a head against Florida. Florida sucked. It wasn't about Florida either. It was just like the last regular season game. Ole Miss is 35-3 in his last 38 at home. That was like a coronation of Ole Miss has arrived as they barrel towards the playoff in a title race, right? And yet, all that anybody could ask about was Lane staying or going. And Lane had an opportunity to elevate the program afterwards, and he was asked about just the atmosphere. He didn't even have to talk about job crap, and he chose instead to troll his own fan base, which I just think is really crappy. That's the one thing that if he does leave, all of the Kiffin 2026 pictures of a cap that he posts on Twitter and the Velvet Ditch and home and blah, 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 you're unfortunately – setting yourself up to have the narrative revert back to what it's mostly always been for you. Yeah. And that's unfortunate because it's not fair to him. That's not what he's been at Ole Miss, but that's how this process right now sure seems to be playing out. It's one or the other for me. It's either Florida or the Ole Miss extension. I don't know which one he's going to do, but dead gum, man, they need some clarity. And if Ole Miss does have to make a coaching hire, you'd be hard-pressed to find a candidate who checks more boxes better than Dan Mullen. That's all I'm going to say. Just from a trolling standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, it's not going to happen. I put him in the same tier of potential candidates as Jeff Lebby, who would crawl back to this job. to take this job as his figurehead. And John Gruden. The realistic guys would be to start John Sumrall. I know there's a little Alex Golish interest. I don't think that was...
I don't know if he fits Ole Miss.
I like Alex Golish a lot.
But
I do too, but I don't know. John Sumrall is the one I hear far and away the most. Clark Lee is somebody Ole Miss would love to talk to. Program builder. Does he check the national branding exposure box that you would need him to? I don't know. How much does that matter at other schools? Not as much at Ole Miss. Certainly. You need to be driving the conversation always.
You got to be. Yeah, you just. We need that persona. That's why, like you said, Sumrall makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's why we talk about a guy like Mullen. I just think it's got to be a bigger personality and someone who can drive that, those storylines of that interest constantly to keep you in that.
If Pete didn't get the job, would he even want to stay? Like, there's all considerations.
Well, someone just asked that in the comments is if Sumrall were to come in. I mean, that's the big part is like Ole Miss can say, well, we got a unique contract with this guy, but the next coach could come in and say, well, if I can't hire my own DC, I don't want the job. So it's like, how does that play out? You know, with Pete.
Yeah, I mean, like if he gets passed over, would he be okay with that? I doubt it. You know, I doubt he'd love that. He wants the job too, and he wants his first head coaching opportunity. And he took a chance on himself coming here, and that adds another layer to the complicated calculus that is the coaching search timeline in college football, which is unlike any other in sports.
Yeah,
treat it like it's professional football. That's my opinion. And I actually asked Lane about it last night, something specifically about that, if it would be healthier, you know, for the sport, if it was treated more like the NFL, the NBA, all that kind of stuff, you know, because this current window forces them, is rushed, and decisions have to be made without the considerations of what actually is supposed to matter, and that's on the field. Ole Miss cannot enjoy this because everybody wants his head coach, and of course, they got to make a hire within a relative amount of time too. Like, sure. For me, here's the hard line, December 1st. Everything's like everybody wants to make a move by December 1st. Everybody wants to have their stuff settled by December 1st. Well, Ole Miss is being punished because it's still winning and we'll be playing football on December 1st.
It's just, you know, I've really been for the last few years, I've tried to move away from that, the We Are Ole Miss stuff that we've been so in, like, grown up in or whatever, you know, trying to be like, oh, of course this happened to us, trying to get rid of that, you know, mindset. But when this kind of stuff happens, it's like, of course. One of the greatest eras, and Lane said it himself, you know, everybody talks about the good old days. You're living in the good old days. And it's like, hey, man, you have enough wherewithal to realize that and say that, but you're also in those good old days. There's still a cloud that's cast over these great moments. And that's the most frustrating thing about it all. I'm a little different, I think, from most Ole Miss people when it comes to Lane. I know a lot of people are frustrated. I just know when he came in to Oxford, I just assumed, like, he's only here for 2 to 3 years. This is him trying to leave FAU and use it as a stepping stone. And he lasted a lot longer than I thought. And, of course, I don't want to see him go, obviously. I think he's, you know, a phenomenal coach and he's a perfect fit for Ole Miss. But I'm also in the mindset of, hey, look at all the great that has happened since he's been here, the exposure. I mean, the way the national media has been gushing about Ole Miss the last few weeks, like, that was not the case when he first got in. Even earlier this season, I mean, when the coaching stuff started coming up, I mean, the conversation has changed so much the last few weeks. And there are so many guys. We talk about a Sumrall. There's got to be so many other guys we haven't even thought about that would jump at the opportunity to take this job because they've seen the commitment they've seen from the athletics department, from the collectives, from the fans, alums, everybody. The job itself has been elevated to a higher degree. So I don't feel as bad about Lane potentially leaving. I just don't like the way he's going about it at this stage. So there is no press conference on bye weeks at Ole Miss. Is that right?
Well, there isn't one today. That's not particularly, you know, out of the ordinary because it's the off week. There's nothing to do. Again, this is Game Runs Deep. We're live, our first live attempt. I'm in the shadow box, Ben Garrett, because I can't figure out how to do lighting. He's Sudo Upadea, Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com, our friends that are doing more than most everyone else in the Ole Miss name, image, and likeness space, NIL. So our thanks to Riverland Roofing. If you're unhappy with or shopping your health insurance coverage, call Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group today at 601-953-8449. 601-953-8449. Drew offers regular health, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement plans. He's an Ole Miss grad servicing 35 different carriers, and he'll make sure you're in the right place for you and your family. Call him 601-953-8449, quoteswithdrew.com. And as always, my thanks to B&A Bank, Carolyn Brownson, Witt, Bob, Mike, all of them over there, my friends. It's more than just a bank. It's a place of people that care about you and will take care of you and you can actually trust, especially if you're like me and feel like an absolute idiot when it comes to making financial decisions and just want somebody to say, hey, tell me what to do. B&A Bank is a place for you. New Albany, Tupelo is where the branches are. 662-534-8171. 662-534-8171. The bottom line is this, folks. We're 31 minutes in, and my camera doesn't have enough juice to go more than about 30 minutes more, and we got other things to cover here. Lane Kiffin is it's a complete and total coin flip.
Yeah.
On Friday, the general feel I got was that Florida had the momentum. Then people I really respect and talk to about this stuff by Sunday were saying, well, dude, now I'm hearing he's probably going to stick around. And then today you got an SEC assistant coach calling me on the phone before I sit down with Sudu saying, oh, yeah, he's just trying to soften the blow. That tells you what it is. It's very much up in the air, and it's confirmed by Lane's own answers and how he's gone about this. He doesn't talk about this stuff in season, yes, but it's also disrespectful to your school not to address it because it is the elephant in the room, and whether you want to talk about it or not, that this is what it is, right? And it's overshadowing everything. And there's no chance that Ole Miss would allow him to coach the playoffs. He's going somewhere.
No way.
Exactly. So
you
like,
can't. You there's no like that would be the weakest move in the world. I mean, you can't do that. Keith would never allow that, in my opinion. I don't think that's in the realm of possibility. Let's get to some comments here too, Ben. Appreciate everybody that's joining us for our first live edition of Game Runs Deep. Okay, let's see. Some of these comments I can't read out loud, but I don't disagree with
some
of you.
Oh, are they pissed?
So, yeah, people are pissed. Someone wanted you to ask him what makes the Florida job better. It doesn't matter. Guys, here's the thing. That's the other thing about asking Lane questions. He's always going to find a way to troll and try to make a joke out of it. I watched it happen the other day. I wish the one regret I had when I left the press conference Saturday night, I wasn't thinking really in the moment, but I also wasn't really there as a member of the press that game anyways, but I wish I would have asked him last year
with 10 NFL guys. He did. That
he did. He 100% did. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I wish I would have asked him, Lane, at this stage of your career, you know, with all these job rumors and things, what is it that you're actually chasing now? Like, what do you do this for? Like, why do you do the job that you do, and what it is that you're looking for at this stage? I really wish I would have asked him that, because maybe that would have provided a little more clarity into his decision and why he's acting the way he is. Or maybe he would have just, you know, made another joke out of that and moved on.
Because he's not going to talk about this stuff. I mean, he was asked the easiest layup of a question from Caleb Saylor for Super Talk.
Yeah.
And just absolutely biffed it. I mean, just absolutely biffed it. I mean, bringing up the Citadel attendance one again. Yeah, it was the worst attended, probably one of the worst of the season. And still 60,000 showed up for a scheduling blunder in November, when they spent thousands of dollars, not just going to the games, but for the roster on the field from their paychecks that aren't $9 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And all you had to do was say, yeah, guys, that was awesome. Thank you for understanding the assignment. Ole Miss has never looked greater. And instead you went, did you see the Citadel, which had more fans in attendance for than LSU Arkansas this weekend? And yet – you don't hear the same bullcrap excuses when it comes to LSU or whatever it might be. So, yeah, it's frustrating. And I get – like, I'm frustrated for Ole Miss fans. Mm-hmm. That's where it's at. Because I've been doing this job for almost 20 years, man. And it's not personal. It's business. It's something I've said over and over again, not just on this pod, but on any pod or anything I've written. I don't take this stuff personally. I'm not – angry at Lane Kiffin. Like, I understand what he's dealing. Like, I get it. Now, I don't understand what he's dealing with, because, like, I'll never understand that. Because, I mean, $9 million a year. If I had complete control over everything, and I could just live and coach ball. And like, he would, if he wins a title this year, regardless of what he does, they would build a statue for that. Like, you have matched Johnny Vaught, whose name is quite literally on the stadium. That could be Vaught Kiffin Stadium.
Yeah.
If not Lane Kiffin Stadium, if you stayed. So that used to be what you valued. Now you value, wait, the family and the growth, and like, well, you did that here and you're getting all of that, and yet you still want to voluntarily potentially give it up. That doesn't compute to me. And it does certainly seem disrespectful, especially with the way, if you don't want to talk about it, fine, but at least then when you're given opportunities to elevate, as the program elevated you, pulled you, like took a chance on you and elevated you, and when you had the opportunity to respond in kind, you've just trolled your own fan base a lot. If you end up leaving after all the online 2026 Lane Kiffin and the home stuff and the Velvet Ditch and all this, that, and the other, again, and it sucks, but it's inevitable, and it's your own doing, you're going to have to deal with the reversion back of a narrative of Lane Kiffin is always going to be Lane Kiffin.
It'll undo all of the E60 stuff, the journey, the family, all that. And it's the way in which he is going to leave if he does leave. It's not just that he's leaving, but it's like you're saying, the trolling and all that. All those things have compounded into, like, if you do leave, that your entire arc of, like, redemption and all that, throw it out of the window. What I saw, I don't know who I saw tweet this. I think it was an Ole Miss account earlier today, but it was a picture of Lane in his suit when he was going to address the Tennessee media while he was waiting outside of the room when he was going to USC. And someone just tweeted a picture of that. And I was like, that is the most accurate picture in this moment, because that is what this will become all over again. I mean, yeah. I don't think Ole Miss students are going to be setting, you know, trash can fires and stuff on campus, but it'll be that kind of situation because of the way he's gone about it.
And yeah,
because
you made it personal, like Cutler.
Yeah, Cutler just said, like, yeah, no doubt.
He really has, like, yeah, in a lot of ways. But I won't begrudge him. Like, I
won't either. I will have no hate in my heart for the guy at all.
I won't say a bad thing about Lane if he does leave. I won't, because, I won't. We could get into that another day, because I still don't. It's no one knows.
Right.
I was feeling a little more bullish about the extension piece yesterday, and now I'm like, well, shoot, this is more Florida vibes than anything else today.
Yeah.
No one knows, and he's not going to make a decision this week, and he's not – like, Ole Miss wants a decision this week, and maybe they'll push. I know they're going to try to a little bit, but until the Egg Bowl's done, he doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
If he was considerate, and surely the man who means what he says and says what he means now, then he would I don't care what he thinks about disrespect for players. The players are very fairly compensated now. They have a job to do. If they don't do their job, that's another discussion. My issue is we need, like, Ole Miss would need to know what his options were, and it doesn't want to be handicapped just because of somebody else's vanity, you know, vanity tour as the center of attention, which is really what he's always wanted. So I think I've had nothing but a great, relationship time covering Lane Kiffin. Seriously, yeah. He's been great. But if he blows this, because of all this, the Egg Bowl State can beat you. They can beat you. And if you lose to State, because let's be honest, the Florida game wasn't particularly inspiring for most of it. If that happens and you miss the playoffs, oh, now that's where the villain arc changes.
Yeah.
Because that would be the two best opportunities last year with Jackson Dart and Walter Nolan and Trey Amos and Jared Ivey and J.J. Pegues and blah. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
The eighth most or the most players drafted in the modern era. The third most in the country last year. One of the most in the country. And who is the rookie of the year? With the rookie of the year, favorite. if he had not been hurt until now, he was going to be a defensive rookie of the year candidate in Walter Nolan, an All-American. All right, Jet, let's see. Hold on. He went 9-3 and lost to Kentucky and Florida. This year, Florida gave him a challenge again. You know what I mean? Like, the red zone issues were the biggest problem.
Yeah.
If he loses to the Egg Bowl in the Egg Bowl to Mississippi State and costs him a playoff on the backdrop of that, with all of this stuff,
yeah,
that's how you torpedo everything you've done. I would just simply say, man, shit or get off the pot in a equitable and fair amount of time so that Ole Miss can really know what it can do or can't do.
Sure.
And it wants to be able to talk to John Sumrall. It wants to be able to vet potentially Cliff Kingsbury, talk to Clark Lee, see if Eli Drinkwitz is just thirsty for a move, period.
No. Dude, it's got to be – it's either Sumrall – it's got to be someone that's more of a personality but also a proven winner.
Yeah, I think I've totally sold you on Dan Mullen.
I'm all in. I'm all in. Someone said – I forgot who it was commented. It's like, Ben, no, like not Dan Mullen. No, he called us T-Son. Listen, guys.
But imagine that cult of personality, dude, like where Ole Miss embraces being T-Son. Amazing.
His introductory press conference, he will refer to that. Remember, Dan Mullen,
he's pushing him out, Brandon Clark. No one's pushing him out.
Yeah.
Of course you'll gladly take him because y'all are thirsty as hell.
Yeah. No one is pushing him out.
No,
but I think
we're just saying Ole Miss needs a decision. It needs to be first treated fairly and equitably and given credit for how far it's come as a program. Yeah. And a lot of that, the majority of it starts with Lane Kiffin. Like hiring him was the biggest thing. But also give Ole Miss credit for what all it's done to support him and give it some agency and say, I know you're thirsty for the coach because that's what pathetic programs in their current situation, that's how they deal with things. Ole Miss is worried about the playoffs. And the fact that you can't sympathize that sucks ass, that they're just having to sit here and talk about this all day, every day, then, like dude, you're missing the forest for the trees. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, y'all want to get in bed with the big cult of personalities. Man, the only way this sport survives is regionality. And Ole Miss has busted its tail, man, to make sure that Lane has everything he wants. And this timeline is not his fault. It is what it is. It's the NCAA's fault. There's no other sport like this. And it uniquely sucks for everybody. Lane would do well to change his course. If he is going to leave, he would do well to change the way he's leaving because I think he's handled it poorly. Just don't be a dick on the way out because this place just wants to celebrate you. That's all we're saying.
Yep.
And be fair to them. Ole Miss fans, football season is in the home stretch, an historic season for the Rebels. The NFL is on the road to the Super Bowl. Could all-time Rebel great A.J. Brown and the Philadelphia Eagles go back-to-back? Get off the bench and into the game with Underdog, the best place to get in on all the action all season long. Regular Talk of Champions listeners know I've been playing Underdog all year. Jackson Dart keeps delivering for the New York Giants. Think Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, touchdowns. They've been regular picks for me, and if you get your picks right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS for $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 years or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncgambling.org. In New York, call the 247-HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Ole Miss fans, for better or worse, I've been a nicotine user most of my adult life. I've tried it all. So when I recommend Free Pouches with their convenience, fast flavor, and fast effect, trust that it's coming from someone who knows. Free Pouches is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want simple and hassle-free without all the smoke, vapor, or smell that comes with. Free Pouches range from 3 megs to 15 with flavors from mint and wintergreen to watermelon and lush. I've always been partial to wintergreen, just like I was when I dipped, but at least this time there aren't endless nasty bottles to clean up. No, Free Pouches sit comfortably and release flavor evenly. They're perfect for meetings, commutes, or when you just need to throw one in to calm the nerves of an Ole Miss game. Even better, Free Pouches offer instant delivery straight to your door. So try Free Pouches today. Right now, Talk of Champions listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, freepouch.com, and use my promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. Free, strength you can count on.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
No doubt about it. All right, we gotta move on and talk a little bit more. But before we do that, I want to give some shout-outs. Some people came up to me in the Grove this week and just talked about how much they love the show, Ben. They talked about how much they love Ben Garrett. And
no,
even
no way that's true.
So no, listen, they not only said they love Ben Garrett, but they also said, you know, Ben definitely interrupts you more than you interrupt him. Mm-hmm. But they love it. Okay. So I forget what my guy's name is. He may be in the live
that's
stream
great.
Here who believes that. But I had a couple guys come up to me. Shout out to Jack Woods. So Jack Woods is apparently friends with a bunch of dudes I went to high school with. I met him this weekend, and he's a big listener of the show. He introduced me to his wife. He's telling his wife, he's like, this is the podcast I listen to in the car all the time.
Yeah.
But he's a big Ben Garrett fan, and he wanted me to let you know that. He's like, please let Ben know. Like, everything he does, I listen to. Shout out to my guy,
man.
Jake Jaffe, as well. He's listening to us from New York right now. I had a pleasure of meeting him this weekend. My buddy John Mark Tuttle, who I hadn't spoken to in years, also DM'd me, said, the show's awesome. And tell Ben to stop interrupting you. So
it's true. I love that. So thank y'all. Like, I know I'm allowed. That's the thing, man. I want to be honest, man. I want to tell y'all what I think. Like, I don't presume to know, you know what I mean? But, yeah. I can just tell you what I'm hearing and, try to be, and for me, the one side that's really getting screwed here.
Yeah.
Is Ole Miss, because man, all it's done is being punished for winning. What a crappy position. That like it's all good problems, but it's just like, dang, man, can't Ole Miss just enjoy this?
Yeah.
Can't Ole Miss just enjoy an historic season? And can't other fans just appreciate? We're always worried about what's next, and that's where Lane has been absolutely right. We're always worried about what's next. The good old days are what you're in now, where your feet are now. I wish that Lane would recognize how avoiding this and not living in the now with this team. He's tried to, because he wants to be respectful, and the timeline is bull crap, and it screwed him, and it's put him in a terrible situation if he really does, and he does, want to entertain Florida. But your primary, sole responsibility right this here and now is to elevate Ole Miss as you have.
Yeah.
To keep it on its climb, not to deter. And there's been too many deterrents for my taste.
Yeah. I agree 100%. We'll see what happens with old Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. But, hey, as of right now, guys, Ole Miss is
10-1
heading into the Egg Bowl. Yeah, we're going to get to it. But
coaching carousel predictions.
Oh, you got updated predictions for this week?
Yeah. I'll put my name on it. You know
let it
mean?
Rip, dude. Let it rip.
All right, let's see. LSU is big game hunting.
Okay, and that's another thing. Like I saw some comments in here. We didn't get a chance to respond to them immediately, but some people were asking, like, so LSU is no shot at all with Lane, or
oh, they want to be in it. I just think that it's just not really in play.
Yeah,
I they want to be. I mean, I think they would pay him whatever he wants to come be their head coach.
So would Auburn.
Auburn's not in this. If I had to guess, Auburn's going to somehow find a way to hire DJ Durkin as its head coach. I could be completely wrong. But, man, after the conversations I've had this morning, I'm like, dang. Arkansas, they're not really going to go for Ed Orgeron. There's no way that's
possible. They want to keep Bobby, right? Bobby just hasn't given them a reason to do that.
Yeah. I think Eli Drinkwitz is the favorite for Penn State if he wants it. I think he really wants Florida or LSU. Florida is far and away all in on Lane Kiffin. Until they know something about Lane Kiffin, they vetted and talked to representations for Eli Drinkwitz, Jed Fish, Lane Kiffin. I mean, that was we haven't verified it because he won't talk about it, but like, there's rumblings out there that, and I've talked about it with fellow members of this beat. We'd heard the same thing independently. We went, oh, I heard this. He went, yep, it was this day that Lane. His representatives on a Zoom call, you know, with during the Citadel week, because they have to. They're like, if Florida's down the road in this process, if Lane gives them a no by December 1st, they're moving on to Eli Drinkwitz or Jed Fish, and they're moving quickly. I think Jeff Brohm really wants Florida, but I don't think that's going to happen. So if you made me predict, I think LSU. I don't know what LSU is going to do.
Who'd you say a week ago? You were telling me it wasn't Riley. It wasn't Frank Wilson. But who'd you say that LSU? Kelvin Shepard, right? That's who you.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think he's like their Pete Golding. Like that's their floor.
Right,
it's Kelvin Shepard.
Lincoln Riley. Good God.
Joe Brady, but Joe Brady, he wants an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah.
Joe Brady is absolutely involved at LSU. If they could get him today, they'd go get Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Because they could make it happen pretty quick. But like they've talked to Marcus Freeman. And Marcus Freeman just straight up doing the anti lane. He's saying like no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking more for like, guys, I'm considering all my options here.
Why would you leave if you're Marcus Freeman, by the way? Because you could lose two games and still get into the playoff, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, Notre Dame is just such a cheat code because the national media just absolutely glazes them for no reason every single year. Why would you? That was my whole thing with BK leaving. I never thought BK was that great of a coach. Some people thought he was top five. I was like, yeah, he's a top 15 coach, but he coaches at Notre Dame. Like, he's always going to get a pass. You're always just going to be able to recruit there. And regardless of how good or bad you are, they're always just going to put you in the conversation anyway. So if you're Marcus Freeman, why would you ever leave Notre Dame? You've got everything you need there. And like this year's proven, you could lose two games, and guess what? You're going to be in the conversation the entire year because you're Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, like Notre Dame is I think Marcus Freeman's not going anywhere.
No, hell no.
But
there's
yeah,
no reason
everybody,
to.
The NFL could be interesting.
Yeah, I could see that for him.
But I still think Marcus Freeman didn't go anywhere. I think LSU is big game hunting. I think they're going to be successful to a degree. I would be surprised if LSU didn't come out of this with like a name that the caliber of Marcus Freeman, Lincoln Riley, or Joe Brady. You know, because like they have the money. All you got to do is have the money and be motivated enough, bro.
Yeah,
that's it. And like there is no deterrent. I don't care. Like they're trying not to pay Brian Kelly $53 million. I hate it for him. You're going to have to.
Yeah,
but. That's not going to stop LSU if they say, you know what, I don't care. We're going to get Lincoln Riley. It just takes the right billionaire booster to give you $20 million, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what they'll do. I think – all right, let's go. Eli Drinkwitz at Penn State. That's either there or Florida, but Florida would mean that Lane Kiffin passed. And if Lane Kiffin passed, he stayed at Ole Miss. If he went to Florida, Eli Drinkwitz would go to Penn State. I think Ole Miss would move so quickly on John Summerall. As quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah.
But if they're not able to move as quickly as humanly possible, John Summerall becomes the overwhelming favorite at Auburn, especially if DJ Durkin continues to not win, even though there's a lot of local sentiment for DJ Durkin, and he's really embraced Auburn culture. Arkansas's not even part of the discussion, really, because it's like Arkansas is going to get like Ryan Silverfield. You know, Eric Morris. And I think Eric Morris is awesome. I think he's going to be awesome. Kane Womack's apparently a candidate at some school, like Oklahoma State, former Ole Miss assistant, defense coordinator at Alabama. Oklahoma State, I think, could do worse than Kane Womack. Jeff Lebby would move if he could, but he's only won one SEC game this year, even though State's 5-6, and that's just been really hard. But, yeah, if Lane went to Florida, I think John Summerall would be the overwhelming favorite at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I think right now, there's just as much of there's every bit the percentage odds that Lane Kiffin's not the head coach next year than he is. You know what I mean? At Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And so, like, what we're talking about is not, this isn't crying, this isn't saying, oh, screw Lane. No, we get to do nothing but give Lane Kiffin his flowers. You know that.
Yeah, like, by the way, this is what anybody that's like left a comment or has said something on Twitter about, this is all you talk about. This is what we do, guys. This is the job. That's why there's 169 people in here right now. It's to talk about this.
Yeah,
the Florida people are like, this is all you do is talk about it. That's quite literally Ben's job. He covers Ole Miss for a living. That's what I do. I
Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On 3, sign up today for $1 in the shadow room because I can't figure out lighting. But like, dude. Yeah. All I want to do is talk about 10-1.
It'd be great to talk football right now. Yeah. Yeah.
But all anybody wants to know, like after Ole Miss beats Florida, one of the very first threads I see is where's the coverage of Lane Kiffin on the Spirit? And guys, I write myself at least two or three stories a day, or do podcasts or stories or some form, at least three a day about this specifically. So, like, if they're not reading it, and they're not like they're wanting to listen to it. If they don't get like we have to talk about it all the time because that's all people want to know about. We can't write about nothing else because if we do, they'll go, well, wait a second, that wasn't this. I mean, it's nonstop all the time.
Yeah,
and that's that's what we're saying.
That's the crappy part of it. That's the problem. You're 11-1, and instead of or 10-1, and instead of talking about the playoff and this Egg Bowl coming up, you're focused on your coach who's got one foot out of the door. So, all right, man.
I'm just glad that they beat Florida because they're better than Florida, we didn't have to ask.
Even though some of those goal line situations we haven't even talked about, some mysterious play calling there.
Like, I'm looking at this percentage on my camera because my battery's messed up. 23%. Like, dude, we got about 20 minutes left, and we got to get to other things, you know, really get to other things. But, like, the amount of text I got, like, especially after the Austin Simmons goal line play.
Yeah.
Dude, is Lane throwing this?
Like, yeah, I had multiple people text me multiple points of that game going, is Lane just trying to, like, get one foot out of the door, trying to lose this on purpose? Like, what is going on?
You see this dude in the chat? Like, he says, Eric Demian, 794. To be honest, I think he tried to throw the OU game with those goofy end zone plays with two quarterbacks. But they won. And that's the thing, like, we don't have to ask those questions. He wouldn't answer them anyway, or we don't have to take our brains down that very dark path.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But because they won the game, but dead gum, dude. We're not even talking about 10-1.
Give it. Why are we not just hand the ball off to your? You gave him the ball 33 times throughout the game, and then there's two goal line situations where you just decided not to give Kiwon Lacy the ball. It made no sense to me.
I saw like a dude who works in the Ole Miss administration, man, on the sideline. I love this dude. I'm not going to say anything, but like, even he was starting going run the ball.
I was there for that. Yeah.
Run the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you're on the one, and you ran it once.
I think I saw a stat that Kiwon Lacy has the most broken tackles in the country this year for, like, a running back.
He was behind Ahmad Hardy for the longest, but, like, now he's that dude.
So you don't trust that guy? I mean, that's who clinched you the game. Like, it was
30 carries for 224 yards and 3 tutties. He's now the single season Ole Miss record holder. So, passing Quinshon Judkins, he's the best. I agree, Rebel and Dave. The best running back in the country, and you're bringing in your injured backup quarterback for cuteness? I don't understand that.
That was some frustrating stuff. All right, Ben. After all that,
we can move on and my camera won't die and we can actually talk about other things than just Lane Kiffin for an hour. Ole Miss is 10-1. I think we're going to know something about Lane Kiffin within 11 days. I'll give you a hard – 11 days at worst, by the longest. Maybe this week, but really about 11 days. Absolute coin flip. Ole Miss extension or Florida? And it has been changing with the wind depending on who you talk to because at the end of all things – Lane Kiffin, who refuses to tell anybody anything, including publicly, privately, just anything true, is intentionally keeping his options open. It sucks, but that's where it is. It's a coin flip, and nothing is going to really change. I just don't want to talk about it much more this week because dead gummit. Ole Miss is 10-1, and Saturday was such an amazing day to hang out with Sudu and 40 and have an amazing, fun time with fellowship. God is good, and it's not all about Lane Kiffin. It's not.
It's not. It's not. Speaking of which, I asked you last week, I said, hey, man, Oklahoma got the best of the Tide a year ago.
Yep.
This is why Alabama didn't get in the playoff. We think Oklahoma can maybe upset Alabama, and I think we came to the decision. No, probably not. Probably Bama wins. Oklahoma's not a playoff team. They're kind of on the border, but they're missing some things. And we were proven wrong, Benjamin. The Oklahoma Sooners have now made things very interesting. Texas losing to Georgia. Now, they're the 3-loss team. OU's going to position itself to get into the playoff. Makes Ole Miss's resume look awesome to go on the road to Norman and get that win. But that was not what we saw coming. There is still a world, Ben, you realize, right, where Ole Miss could get in the SEC championship game based on what we saw this past weekend. Now, South Carolina could have made it so much more interesting. So much more interesting. I mean, those poor fans, man. Those poor fans.
I was really ready to come on here and go, really, Texas A&M, after all year of me saying, I don't really believe, when I finally say, yeah, dude, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they deserve all the flowers. You're really going to let this be how it ends? This is going to – but for the first time in SEC history, a team that led by 27 points in the second half or something, whatever it was, lost.
That feels like a Hugh Freeze era collapse for South Carolina.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Shane Beamer – if you win that one game alone, you really could have gotten your contract reset with Virginia Tech, probably. They're
going
to go
with James Franklin. Yeah. That's...
But, like, Ole Miss wants to be able to at least talk to James Franklin. Why wouldn't they? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of course they would. And don't worry, I've already had some money. People be like, dude, if they hire James Franklin, I'm out. You know, while we got Jay Sims in the comments going, if it's Dan Mullen, I'm burning all my Ole Miss gear. I get it, but also you're misunderstanding. You get all of the on-the-field stuff that you get with Lane, and you're not going to match Lane's national relevance as far as, like, constantly driving the national conversation. But if anybody can get close, remotely close in year one at Ole Miss, and it's quite literally year to year now in this business, it's Dan Mullen, based solely off of the state connection, yes, but also Ole Miss Dan Mullen coached Ole Miss going to Lane Kiffin coached Florida when he was the most successful coach Florida's ever had. The shit he would talk, not just at SC Media Day, but that week. Like, he would do Feinbaum hits all the time. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not.
And also not that they've been, let me say that before someone goes, the best coach they've ever had, he means in the era after Urban Meyer, obviously.
Yeah. But Lord. I mean, come on now. No one's arguing that Florida isn't a great program historically. We're just saying y'all hadn't been shit in 10 years. Like, chill. Yeah. That's all it is. And the way I look at it, Brandon Walker's in the chat as Brandon Clark. Oh, that would be great. It'd be very cool.
Like,
Brandon, if that is you, dude, it was good to catch up with you. Yeah, dude, it was great to catch up with him when that Barstool came for the Ole Miss Georgia game. Like, went back there and talked to him specifically about some stuff. I like Brandon Walker. I think he's a good
dude. He's a funny guy. I think he's a little misguided, but he's a funny guy.
I think he gives a shit. I think he genuinely gives a shit. He gives a shit about what he's supposed to, like, the stuff that he gives a shit about, like his family, his friends, he takes pride in what he does. He loves Mississippi State. Okay, there are worse things.
The other thing I was going to say with Dan Mullen is, guys, there's two people that would be the most down bad if Dan Mullen got hired at Ole Miss. One would be the Mississippi State fan base.
Miserable.
The other person would be Hugh Freeze.
Can you imagine the first time Dak came to visit Dan Mullen at Ole Miss, how that would go?
Oh, that would be nuts. But could you imagine how Hugh Freeze would feel?
Tim Tebow? Oh, yeah. Oh, it would.
If Dan Mullen got the job at Ole Miss.
Oh, it'd be hard. It's not going to happen. Like, if you ask me, all right, Ben, you've been talking all around it. Say it right here now. Well, they are about to be shit. Oh, see, dude, just chill out. It ain't that serious. You calm down.
That's so funny.
Also, y'all said the same thing about Billy Napier. Y'all said the same thing about Dan Mullen. Y'all's delusion has been insane.
Remember when McElwain was supposed to be like the next great thing?
Instead, he was having sex with a shark. That's a joke. Don't look that up. That's a joke. That's a joke. But, like, this Nick Cass, like, dude, chill. It's not that serious. No one cares. Like, we're saying, yes, Florida wants Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin is seriously considering it. And right now, it's just as much a chance he takes Florida stays at Ole Miss. My point is very simple.
Yeah.
Ole Miss wants him to be fair, equitable, and considerate, considering all that they've done for him. And don't want to have to settle for their in-house candidates, whether they like them a lot or not. Like, if you made me handicap it, if Lane were to take the job in Florida tomorrow, who would be the overwhelming – like, who would be the betting odds favorites at Ole Miss? One,
Sumrall.
John Sumrall.
Yeah.
Pete Golding and Joe Judge, you know, because then you're talking about in-house promotion options. But then, like, yeah, Cliff Kingsbury's in there. Alex Golish is in there.
No.
Eli Drinkwitz is long shot because I think Drink is big fish hunting. Like, he would think, like, moving from Missouri to Ole Miss was more laterally than what he'd think, like, going to LSU, Penn State, or Florida would be. Clark Lee. James Franklin.
No.
I don't think it would
be. I get it. There's just not that many elite coaching candidates out there. No. Like, elite, or like the hot young guy that's like, you're like, man, that's the next guy up. I think Sumrall's the only thing close to that. This year, that would be my guess. Okay, but back to we somehow shifted back into Kiffin stuff, man.
Because it's dominating everything, and we got to be gone in like 15 minutes because I'm looking at the percentage, and I'm about to be wiped out regardless. All right, let's hit it.
You're good. But I mean, this weekend, man, some crazy stuff. Also, Louisville lost again. The ACC is a joke. It's an actual freaking joke.
It's not even worth talking about anymore, man. Seriously.
It really isn't. I mean, we've given the ACC so many chances. I mean, early in the season, Miami, this team can win a national title. Look at the way they're playing. Collapse. Louisville, Jeff Brohm, he slammed top five teams. Collapse. Georgia Tech, sitting a one loss. They're probably my favorite team right now in the ACC, but even them, they should have two. They should have two. We can't forget about the Wake Forest game. Just a joke of a conference right now, man. It's truly remarkable to me how bad the ACC has become. And that's why, like, we talked about Brohm as a candidate, I think, a couple episodes ago. And a lot of people were hitting me up going, hey, I think you forgot. You know, he's a Louisville guy. And I go, yeah, but if you're Jeff Brohm, you're watching the way the ACC is being treated by the playoff committee. Maybe you do want to make a move. Maybe it does make sense for you to go somewhere else, because clearly, I mean, I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee respects the ACC. And at this point, I can't disagree with them, dude.
No, I mean, I don't even know who you include anymore.
In this playoff?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just go off the AP poll right now, right? So Ohio State has done absolutely nothing but win and do it dominantly. They're one. Indiana at two makes total sense. I said that you could make a case for A&M above Indiana, but with their close call. But I'll say this about A&M, though, and I've said this before about a lot of different teams. I feel like if you can skirt out wins and you can face the adversity and make comebacks, that says more about you as a playoff contender than just if you're just blowing teams out. Said that about Indiana last week. I'm going to say that about Texas A&M this week. To be down 30-3, I know it's South Carolina, but still to be able to get past that. Marcel Reed had a terrible first half in that game. I was actually like, I guess I was completely wrong about this guy. And then he comes out in the second half and totally changes his tune. I think that says a lot about A&M. So I still say you could put A&M at two over Indiana, but I think 1-2-3 makes sense. Georgia, bro, this is what Kirby does. When November rolls around, the dogs, they're barking. And by the way, they're doing the belt to ass thing too, by the way. I saw that their student section took off their belts and were smacking it on the tunnel. So how about little Ole Miss influencing people? Big mighty Georgia out here, huh?
Yeah, Brandon Clark in the comments staying thirsty, saying still get more fans in three games than Ole Miss all season. Bitch, he's the one that's actually winning games right now. Like, y'all stay thirsty, man. Hey, this is silly, dude.
Hey, like, let me tell you, I haven't seen Ben Garrett like this in a long time. Don't hey.
You're right.
F around and find out. All right.
God is good. It's like, stop with this. This isn't a Florida versus Ole Miss, guys. Ain't no one talking that noise about y'all. Like, I've had nothing. The only fun thing I ever talked noise about with Florida was, like, one, when Rex Grossman came and Ole Miss stormed the field, and then when they made Tim Tebow cry. Like, no one has any beef with Florida. The problem is, like, what everyone needs to, like, target their fire at is the people who allow this timeline to be what it is. It's absolute insanity. Yeah. It's insanity that a sitting head coach that's won 10 games and set history to become the three consecutive 10-win seasons of first in Ole Miss history, the first coach to ever do that. And we talk about this for an hour, like when they're 10-1, because like this should be saved for the offseason. This should be all offseason intrigue. But instead it's in season and it takes away from what's happening. And what's happening is Ole Miss is single-digit wins away from winning the national championship. And if you look at the field and their resume comparatively, especially with Oklahoma beating Alabama this weekend, there are very few teams, if any, that you would take over Ole Miss. Ohio State probably, Indiana probably because of their consistency. But Ole Miss's only loss of the year, only blemish, was a single-digit loss at Georgia that they control, but they just couldn't figure them out defensively. Enjoy your season because it's almost over. Ole Miss fans are going to enjoy it regardless, and they're going to enjoy it even if Lane goes to Florida. They're not going to stop being Ole Miss, but like because Lane, they've moved past Lane and the cult of personality that is Lane. Like Ole Miss has real infrastructure in place. That's the point. They want to be able to sign, like go talk to guys to keep that going. Yeah. They're not going to necessarily be better than or just step in seamlessly for Lane Kiffin, but like they don't want to be limited to their options. So. Right. That's what we're talking about. Someone in the Twitter comments, Daniel Larson, said, some food for thought. Last time this happened with the Auburn rumors, Lane Kiffin ended up signing the extension either right before or after the Egg Bowl. That's true. If I'm not mistaken. So I think it would be safe to assume that he's going to resign. If he's going to resign, it would be around then. Yes. So 11 days.
Yeah, and thank God this time around, regardless of what he's doing. The one thing I gave him credit for this a few weeks ago, and if he finishes out the season, I'll say it again. Hey, I don't know what the hell you're doing as far as if you're leaving or staying, but the fact that you got your team focused and winning, unlike that implosion in 2022, that's where I pay my respects to Lane. Whether he stays or leaves, if he could finish out the season 11-1 and get this team to the playoff, cool. Awesome. Whether you stay or go, thank you. Thanks for not losing from the distractions and having the implosion we saw in 2022, because you want to talk about like him leaving under these circumstances? That would be even worse if they would have lost the last three and it ended like 2022. Good God, man!
That Auburn ain't Florida, Nick. Nick in the comments. Auburn ain't Florida. Bro, you're way closer to Auburn in 2025 than you are Ole Miss. Sorry. Yeah. We got to move on now.
All right. Let's back to that playoff poll we were talking about. So Georgia, the top four just makes total sense, right? Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia. I don't think that there's any argument there. Ole Miss is currently fifth in the AP top 25. If they win out, I imagine that they'll be no lower than five or six. It would make no sense for Ole Miss to be lower than five or six. That would have you hosting a home playoff game. Oregon and Texas Tech are tied right now. Oregon is not particularly impressive. They find ways to eke out wins too, but I don't know, dude. Right now, would you put Texas Tech over Oregon? Because I think I would.
Yeah, probably.
If you're seeding the playoff right now?
Yeah, probably.
I'd put Tech at six. I'd probably put Oregon at seven. Oklahoma has jumped up to eight of a sudden.
That's crazy.
Who else would you put there, right?
Nobody.
It makes sense.
Nobody. But Ole Miss, man, like their draw as currently slotted would be a pretty daggum good draw for them. And they could make a real run here.
Yeah.
And, they could win a national championship. And you're talking about history repeating itself, like thinking about Lane and the whole Tennessee press conference thing. Like, he didn't get to coach Alabama's national championship run as his offensive coordinator because he took the FAU job and saved and said, no, kick rocks. You can go do your thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Think about history repeated in that way again. And, like, the one thing he said he's always just really pursuing, we talk about, like, what would make him happy? What I think he would ultimately say, I just want to win a championship. You have never been closer. And yet your foot is not in the door here where you're – quite literally a couple weeks away from doing it in a pretty winnable field. Instead, it's focused on outside distractions. So,
right. So we're looking at Oklahoma at what, seven or eight, right?
Yeah.
Notre Dame's at nine right now. Good God. They're going to,
because there's no one else.
They're going to find a way to. Bama moved to 10. BYU's at 11. Vandy's at 12, meaning right now Vandy would be pushed out if we went by the AP poll by James Madison, I guess. They're the highest ranked group of five team right now. Granted, you'd have to win your conference and finish
the highest ranked. Dude, Johnson, Summerall, and Tulane are back in that conversation.
They're 24th. I mean, it's James Madison, North Texas, and Tulane. So that could be a very interesting situation. What if Tulane somehow ends up playing Ole Miss in the playoff? Which wouldn't happen with seeding. I don't think that's the way the seeding. Well, I actually could, right? Because the first four teams get the bye anyways.
Dustin Bryant says Oklahoma is going to win out. I don't see that, Desi. But, I mean.
Oklahoma's going to win out. I mean, they could certainly win out. Who do they have left?
No,
Mizzou and LSU.
Playoffs, bro. That includes the playoffs.
Like, yeah, there's no way.
Come on.
Oklahoma's going to win out and win the Natty. There's no way.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack you and interrupt again.
No, you're good. I'm just looking at the rankings right now, and I'm going. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty chalky, though, this year. There's not too much. Like, when the year first started out, you know, we were talking about Vandy and Georgia Tech and all these other teams. But the way it's looking right now, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia. I mean, Indiana's the least chalky team in there, obviously. Ole Miss, Oregon, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Bama, BYU still in the conversation. And we'll see.
Nothing interests me once you get past nine, man. I just don't take anybody else seriously.
Bama? How do we feel about Bama?
They can beat anybody they line up against. But that, like, I mean, they can beat anybody, but everybody's gettable. That's the point.
Yeah.
Everybody's gettable.
No doubt.
And
everybody but Ohio State is the only one I look at, and I go, they might be the most dominant. That's the only team. And Julian Sain is now has shot up the Heisman charts. We were talking about him maybe winning a Heisman next season. He could do it this
year.
Season.
He could do it this year. Like,
it's Fernando and it's Sain right now.
My vote right now, if I had one, would be Jeremiah Love.
Jeremiah Love is awesome.
If for no other reason than to make right the criminal robbery that was giving Ashton Gentry's Heisman Trophy to Travis Hunter just because he had a gimmick.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough a year ago. Yeah. Well, Benny, I guess that kind of covers it. You want to take a look at some week 13 matchups before we get out of here?
Fire away. Let's do it.
So we got, let's see.
Our first run at a live show. We'll be better next time. But now we know how it works. You know what I mean? Literally just said, all right, let's go live. Started talking. Said, are we live? Oh, we're live. And just been talking for an hour.
Well, you go live all the time. But this is the first time we've done it using Riverside, which is going pretty well. Okay, so let's see. We've got Mizzou, Oklahoma. Mizzou has to go to Norman.
Oklahoma.
Any chance that the Sooners slip up here? No shot in hell?
And Missouri. No, I'm not saying no shot in hell. Actually, it's pretty intriguing. Where is it?
It'll be in Norman.
Where's it played at?
It'll be in Norman.
Yeah, they're not watching that. But it's going to be tough. Like, Drink is he's putting his best foot forward, man. He's auditioning, you know? That'll be tough. But I'll give it to the home team, and I think they'll win. I think Oklahoma is one of the few teams that it kind of excites you right now. You're like, oh, this is the team that, like, early in the year, everybody's going, oh, dang, John Mateer. You know,
yeah.
This is the Heisman candidate, Heisman front runner. Yeah, so I'm with you. I'm going with Oklahoma. I don't think they're not losing to Missouri. Come on.
Okay.
But Drink is, man. Drink. You think Florida fans are thirsty for Lane? Just from the comments I'm keep reading over here. Drink is thirsty to move. I think, man. That man is thirsty.
Yeah, I could see it. All right, USC is going to Eugene to play Oregon this week. Mm. We talked about some of the close calls Oregon has had. I mean, the Trojans have not been anything special, but they are 6-1 in the Big Ten, only two losses. You know, I don't know. Could this be the week
Lincoln
that
Riley's
Oregon
going anywhere? That's my shocker special. I think Lincoln Riley's going somewhere.
He has shown that he will move from what is considered an elite program. Like, he will make a lateral move. And some people may disagree about Oklahoma and USC, but Oklahoma's won a lot historically. So I 100% consider that a lateral move. But yeah, if he feels like his shelf life is kind of up and there's pressure on him, I could see him take advantage of that and go somewhere else.
Well, I mean,
LSU would be very interesting for Lincoln Riley, and I think it'd be hard for him to turn down LSU. It'd be hard for anybody to turn down LSU. The only difference is
right now, like, I think
except for Kiffin. Yeah, well, Florida's got him. You know.
I just think LSU shot itself in the foot because I think LSU would have been every bit the threat of Florida had they.
Oh, if it wasn't for Jeff Landry, I think Kiffin to LSU would have been almost I don't think we'd be talking about it as the way we are Florida right now. If that wasn't the
Lane. You know, let me put it this way: an Ole Miss guy who's as connected as anybody, who has been bullish as hell. About, oh, this is all for, like, Lane's going to sign. He's going to sign an extension with Ole Miss. Today, he's like, oh, he's gone. You know, like, that's how the sentiment is kind of just blown with the wind. And for me, I just think that sucks. And I'm committing myself to most of the rest of this week when I do podcasts especially. Man, I'm going to talk about a historic Ole Miss season, bro, because it's never been like this before.
Yeah.
And that's where the focus really should be.
All right, you're
on
13%. Let's wrap up.
I'm on 7% now. Here we go.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. All right, so USC, Oregon. Who are you thinking? You think the Trojans get the upset?
Oregon.
I'm gonna go USC just for fun this week.
Yep,
almost
did.
Just for fun. Let's see. Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Cutter Bowley has been looking pretty good. You think that Kentucky has any shot at beating the Commodores in Nashville?
That's my upset pick this week.
It's going to be Kentucky over Vandy. Yeah.
Just because I don't know who else I'd pick, and that would be kind of silly fun. Diego Pavia, my guy, the fighting Diego Pavias, the back end of the college football playoff bubble, whatever you want to call it, has been weak as hell. This was the concern when they said to go to 12. Is there always going to be 12 that really deserve? Vanderbilt right now is that 12th, and man, and of course they're not a national championship contender. They're a fun story and bully for Vanderbilt, and Clark Lee would be a hell of a hire for anybody that really wants to win in a consistent way for years and years and years, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Okay.
Let my guy Mark Stoops do what he does. The longest tenured coach in the SEC. Let him do that, man.
When he's not beating my team, I love Mark Stoops. All right, number 22 Pitt at number 16 Georgia Tech. The Jackets can't lose again if they want to keep their playoff hopes alive. But they're still in the conversation,
Brent
obviously.
Brent Key wants to stay in the conversation to be Florida's head coach.
Brent Key ain't leaving Georgia Tech. Let me just make that very clear right now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He ain't leaving.
I'll take Tech.
You're taking Tech. I'll take Tech on that one too. I think they're pretty convinced. Okay, number 23 Tennessee going to the Swamp. Now we know how this rivalry has worked in the past. Doesn't matter how good Tennessee is when they go to the Swamp, Ben. Crazy things happen. You know this historically. Tennessee struggles at Florida. When's the last time the Vols won in Gainesville? Maybe our guy who's our Gator fan in here. Sam Nichols, Nickel Sam. When's the last time Tennessee won in Florida? Do you know that off the top of your head?
I can't. I don't have the percentage on my phone or anywhere else to be able to like Google search it really quickly. So Nick, help us out. He said this is fun because he's been talking his crap to Ole Miss fans. I really could care less. I'm sorry. I got to be a pretentious asshole. I couldn't care less. But let us know when's the last time Tennessee won.
The last time Tennessee beat the Florida Gators in Gainesville was on September 20th, 2023. The victory came under quarterback Casey Clawson. Marked the last time Tennessee won at Florida's home stadium, the Swamp.
I'll give Florida credit, man. They didn't look like a team that, like, the team that looked like they'd absolutely quit at Kentucky did not look like that. They were playing. They were playing for Billy Gonzalez. No,
we don't know. We don't know which Florida will show up. That's the crazy thing about Florida this year. Man, that's why they were such a wild card when Ole Miss played.
DJ Lagway dropped some pretty like dope dimes, man. So like,
well, when DJ, it also helped that Ole Miss's secondary is as porous as it is and was getting beat every single play.
They were running wide open.
That was a pretty sad deal. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna
Tennessee. 5%, by the way.
So I'm going to go Florida, man. Until Tennessee wins Love in the that. Swamp again, I'm going to go Florida here. All right, let's see. What's our
Nick,
other?
Since you're an asshole, you just don't know it. Oh, I do. I do, man. But it's all good. It's all in good fun. Honestly, like seriously, I think everybody that's joined us, man, that have made this podcast what it is, that have come up to Sudu and talked to him, like telling him, oh yeah, I love that Ben is the interrupter, even though that's the thing I've been the most
Rebel and Dave
about.
Disagrees, man. He is on my ass about that, dude.
That's okay,
but like, I love him for being here and supporting us.
I love that you get a little taste of what it's like for the rest of us normies. You know what I mean? Like that you have to eat some of it too. All of this is really, and that's what I wrote in my column for the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of 130, sign up today for a dollar. When I really wrote about and tried to be as concise in what I knew about the Lane Kiffin stuff. Yes, Nick, it is all in fun, 100%. Like, the spirit, that's the spirit of the thing, man. Seriously, like, it ain't that serious. Like, it's fun to talk about this stuff. It's fun to, like, mess with your rivals and stuff. That's what made it great. I don't like the mean-spirited stuff, like, talking about Ole Miss in an aggressive way, because Ole Miss has come so far, and a lot of that, most of it, attributed to Lane Kiffin, but, like, it has agency, too, and that would be to shortchange so many people who really just have really given a crap and tried to make Ole Miss the best version of itself. I think Lane thinks he's Florida bound. Nick's does.
Great shot.
Could be. Yeah. Good I mean, I like I've been saying, every bit the chance, in my opinion, right now is him signing the extension. It's one of those two things. I don't think LSU is in play. But as I wrote in my column, it's all silly. It's not that serious. It's just unfortunate how sucky the timeline is for everybody, because it's robbing the joy of it, the spirit of the thing, from what we love the most. And that's just, you know, the beauty that is the lunacy, the beauty of the lunacy that is college football. All right.
Yep.
4%. All right.
Number 12, BYU at number 25, Cincinnati. Can the Bearcats end BYU's hopes of a college football playoff berth?
They will if they win. But, buddy, and you and I really wanted to get on the Bearcat train. We did. We really did.
I tried. I like your quarterback.
You got me on story, bro. Like, you put me on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
BYU.
Yeah, I think it's BYU. Bear Bachmeyer, bro. I love quarterbacks that wear obscure numbers like 40. What is it, 47?
I hate that.
You don't like that?
I still don't forgive Shea Patterson for wearing 20.
Hey, 22. Was it 20 or 22?
20, dude. And he looked like Johnny Manziel in that start against Texas A&M. And then, what a night that was. You know, like, I gave that as a present. I got a bunch of Oxford Eagle copies, bro. And I got Shea to sign it for, like, family members. Because, you know, that's when Ole Miss was – Shea Patterson was the only thing that could make Ole Miss relevant. You know what I mean? And, like, he'd arrived, and our Johnny Manziel. And, man, that was given as Christmas gifts. And, dude, I found one the other day, like, in my mom's, like, really dilapidated old, like, storage unit. I'm like, that's the passage of time.
Yeah.
And I just don't want that to be for Lane Kiffin if he leaves, because, like, man, what he's done is awesome. He should be celebrated, and he shouldn't even have to be dealing with this, honestly. He could be doing a better job of handling it. But at the end of all things, the fact that we can't just enjoy the thing we love because people are assholes, selfish assholes, not Lane or whatever, but like the people who made the timeline what it is, it's just unfortunate. And especially with Ole Miss having the greatest season it's ever had. But you don't want to go to Atlanta. We were talking about this earlier. Why would he want to go to Atlanta, which is crazy? Because like Ole Miss is always just get to Atlanta. That's one box to check. Well, if you're going to do it this year and make it another history thing. But here's the thing. Like, what if Ole Miss doesn't, because it needs losses from Texas A&M and Alabama to get there? If it doesn't, Ole Miss will have gone 7-1 twice in the SEC and not made the SEC championship game.
That it exists, okay? A&M beats Texas beats A&M, right? Bama loses to Auburn. Then Ole Miss would play Georgia again? Is that how that would work? Or would there still be another head-to-head? That would be
the best matchup you could really get in the SEC Championship game is a rematch of Ole Miss and Georgia.
That would be so much fun. Although, I Texas just, A&M, this Georgia team
Texas
right
A&M
now.
Texas A&M deserves it. I love Texas A&M. Man, they're business. Mike Elko coaches ball.
They do.
You know what I mean? All right, 2%.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Game Runs Deep for Ben. I am Sudu.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I would do this every day with Sudu if he wanted to.
If we could make it happen, that would be fun, man. Once again, appreciate all the support, guys. You can follow Ben at Spirit Ben on Twitter. You can follow at OM Spirit on 3 for all of his content.
I'm locked out of my Twitter account at Spirit Ben, so I'm currently tweeting.
So follow
all my tweets.
OM Spirit on 3. If you want Ben's content, you can follow me at Sudu TV on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
Someone get me out of this two-factor authentication hellacious loop that I'm in, 1%.
It'll happen. All right, before Ben's camera dies, thanks again, everybody. Thanks for tuning in live with us. Join us again next week. For Benny, I'm Sudu. We'll see you guys. Peace out.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.